It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you to the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, November 28th, 2013, the Thanksgiving edition, and we are thankful that you are with us tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, great to be with you on this Thanksgiving Day. Sort of a Thanksgiving tradition that we've established on the Virtual Bible Study.
And it's, but it's a little bit different tonight where our seats are all mixed up. You're sitting in my seat, somebody's sitting in your seat, and I'm sitting in somebody else's seat tonight, so it's sort of musical chairs.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad to welcome Nick Law to the Virtual Bible Study tonight. Nick, of course, a longtime friend and relative, father-in-law, in fact, of Jacob, and we're always glad to see him in Columbia and always excited to have him with us to participate on the Virtual Bible Study whenever he's in town. Nick, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you, and it's good to come up and eat turkey at Jacob's house this year.
Right. We're glad that you did, and we're glad that you can study with us. And this is something to be thankful for tonight, that the opportunity to study God's Word, and that is something we should be thankful for every time that opportunity presents itself. Tonight, discussion should be interesting, but I don't expect a lot of listener participation tonight.
Yeah, Jacob, I think that a lot of people have been busy eating turkey and visiting with family, maybe watching football on TV, and we understand that. We understand it's a holiday and people are busy with some important family activities, but we always do the Virtual Bible Study. We try never to miss a Thursday, and so we are here. Hopefully some folks will pick up the podcast version or the archive version and still gain some good from the things that we'll talk about tonight.
Turkey has a sedative effect.
Tryptophan. It's tryptophan.
Yeah, and the Virtual Bible Study, they don't have a name for it, but it has the same effect.
It's not tryptophan. It's what? I don't know, but it can put you asleep. If you are groggy already, it can put you.
So it could be like an overdose of sedatives here if we're not careful. Yeah. So that's probably why there's not very many listeners.
Yeah, but we're glad for those. We've got a few who are online. A few are showing up in the chat room. We'll challenge those of you who are listening and who are participating via the chat room. Since we are fewer in number tonight, we'll expect you all to be active in participation. And so join in. We'd be glad to have your input on the topic we want to discuss. Jacob, I really think that we've got a significant thing to discuss, and it has to do with modifying our teaching, changing our practice to accommodate the trends and the desires and the changes that take place in the culture around us.
That's right.
I don't think it's news to anybody when we say certainly times are changing, people are looking at things differently than they used to. A lot of new things are taking place, and it's having some impact in the religious world. Some of it may be good, some of it may be bad. We want to talk about that. So we want to talk about trying to accommodate the modern culture, changing our practice, maybe even changing our teaching to be in line with what the modern culture is dictating.
And that's right. And that nobody would deny that it's changing.
Yeah.
And I think that the discussion would be about whether or not it should change. Some people are fully embracing this idea that we've got to change and be more relevant, and others are saying, well, maybe not, and we need to figure out what the right answer is.
Yeah, and I actually think that there's maybe a balance to achieve.
So you're saying we maybe should make some changes.
I think there's some areas where we can change to accommodate what seems to be, you know, acceptable in our culture.
Uh-huh.
I believe there's definitely areas where we cannot change at all, and that's sort of where our discussion is going to take us tonight, I think.
Okay.
Earlier today to our update list, I sent out our questions. We always do that. We remind you on Thursdays you can look for our Virtual Bible Study update in your inbox. We usually try to send it out around noon on Thursday. We tell you what topic we're going to be discussing, give you some questions, seeking feedback. Here are the questions that we sent out today. By the way, if you're not on that list, get on that list by sending us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Here's the questions we sent out earlier today. Number one, do you have firsthand examples or evidence of religious groups modifying their doctrine or adapting their practices to conform to modern cultural changes? In other words, we're looking there for maybe something that someone has seen, maybe right. some denomination or group.
You're not asking for comments about whether or not it was right or wrong. You just want to see where it's changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Questions two and three go together, and I think as I thought about this later, I probably would word them in reverse order. So I'm going to word it that way here. First of all, what areas should we never change? In what areas should we just absolutely refuse to change at all? And then we'll back up and ask the question, are there any areas where we can and should change to stay up to date?
Okay.
So one, are there areas, no change, absolutely refuse to change, we can't, never, no way. Are there some areas where we should be open to some changes to be, maybe stay more current? And then question four, specifically, what changes might we make in regards to public worship services? In other words, could we change some things about our worship that might make it more appealing to the modern man? And then, in conjunction with that, what things cannot be changed in regards to our worship services? You know, there seems to me that there's a lot of emphasis on that. Yeah. We want to talk about it. We see religious groups really altering what they do when they come together in their assemblies. And what can we change and what can't we change in regards to worship? And then, finally, in matters of morality, do cultural norms ever factor into our decision making? And then, what are the absolutes that can never be changed in regards to morality? So that's where we want to take our discussion tonight.
877-381-4567. You know, you get a holiday pay if you work on Thanksgiving. Are we doing anything special for callers tonight?
We'll get you right in.
We'll pay you twice. We'll double.
Yeah, we'll pay double what we usually pay.
Yes.
We'll pay double what we usually pay. And you'll get right in if you give us a phone.
That's right.
That's
usually the case, though, if you call, but especially tonight, 877-381-4567. And the chat room is open. There are some diehards. I'm looking at the chat room now. There are some diehards.
Yeah, come on in.
But they're not signed in, so you've got to sign in.
Remember, in the chat room, remember to give yourself a name. You can use your real name. You can use a pen name. We don't care. Get in there and identify yourself.
Right.
If you are not signed in and you just see me up there, you know, in the column on the right that shows everybody who's in the chat room, if you see me or you don't see your name at all, then you're not logged in. Down at the bottom of the window, there's a login there, and it's real easy to do. Give yourself a name, make up a name, give yourself a simple, easy-to-remember password, and then we'll be able to identify you, and we would love to hear your comments.
You don't even have to sign in. You don't even have to make an account. You can let ChatRoll sign it for you, and so just join in there. You might decide that you've got an urge to make a comment as we talk about.
Where else, Jacob? Where else on Thanksgiving evening are you going to be given a chance to get your thoughts out there before lots of people? Maybe not lots of live listeners tonight, but over time, several thousands of people will hear what you have to say if you give us your thoughts in the chat.
This is going to be a program that is primarily podcast, as are most of our programs. And we're getting some new data on our podcast, and we want to say thank you to our podcast subscribers, maybe more than we had estimated before.
You know, until we made these recent website changes, Jacob, with both our website host and with our streaming provider, and really where we're parking all of our information out there on the internet, we didn't have a chance to track some of that information. We got better stats than we had, and we're seeing better numbers than we even imagined.
Right.
We were having lots of trouble all through the month of November. We still saw significant numbers in November, listening to our podcast.
If you're subscribed to the podcast, thank you for being out there. We appreciate that, and we welcome your comments anytime. You know, if you're not listening live, you can still comment. Send your questions or comments to questions@collegeu.com. And we especially like those podcast listeners who request certain topics to be discussed.
Yeah.
Those are some of our prized listeners there.
So and remember, if you have a question you'd like to hear discussed on the Virtual Bible Study, if you'll send that in to questions@collegeu.com, if it's a topic that would merit a whole hour-long program, we'll do that, or we may add it in. We refer to it as our stack of stuff, our pile of questions. If it's a question that might not take a whole hour to discuss, we'll include it in one of our sort of smorgasbord question and answer programs. You can do that.
Now, you're getting web savvy. Are you podcasting yet? Do you subscribe to any podcast?
No, you know, I don't.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't.
All right. Number one on the questions tonight, firsthand examples of evidence of religious groups modifying their doctrine or adapting their practices to conform to modern cultural changes. Now, you asked the question, so I assume that you have some firsthand examples.
I got some examples. You know, I think probably all of us, maybe just in our local communities. Nick, I don't know if you're seeing this down in North Florida where you're from, but around here you'll see some denominational churches, and it'll say traditional worship at 9 a.m., contemporary worship at 11 a.m.
You haven't been to North Florida very much. They don't change much in North Florida.
I usually have to drive a little bit further north to Valdosta. Yeah. Or when we were in Athens, Alabama, we would see that advertised quite a bit on signs of a contemporary service or either
traditional. Yeah,
service.
And that even that announcement, although you may not know what they're really doing, that announcement really suggest they're trying to make some changes to make it more appealing to people.
Yeah, they've got a certain group of people that they need to modernize things they view to get them to be more religious or more spiritually minded.
Yeah, and we see things around here where they'll advertise certain activities that are taking place through the auspices of some denominational group, and we're always rather shocked sometimes to see some of the stuff that they're involved in that seems to have no connection with religion at all. Jacob's classic example is that of a big church up in Nashville that has indoor fireworks on the 4th of July. You know, all of that sort of stuff would indicate an apparent agenda to alter things in such a way to appeal to modern people.
I know if you watch much on, say, some of the evangelical teaching on television, you see how they've kind of modernized things with their music. And
you know, the music is just, it's almost like a concert that you might go, you know,
yeah,
like a pop band or something.
It's,
you know,
like a free concert.
A pretty neat singing group. I mean, they make good music. You know, just if you like the sound,
yeah,
you know, the sound is really, they're very professional.
I knew a guy who that was his sort of his occupation was to sort of run the show, in other words. And he was managing
It's a production.
It's the managing the production, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, here's what kind of got me thinking about this whole theme. You know, we talk about some of these maybe upshot kind of new groups that are doing some of this contemporary stuff. Here's one of the old regulars, the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is beginning to make noise along this line. I saw
interesting because they've sort of been they've been dragging their feet.
Yeah, they've been holding back, but this new pope,
Mass had to be in Latin and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, the new pope, he's shaking things up. This comes from an address that he made last Saturday, November the 23rd. Pope Francis is his name, of course, and he issued a mission statement for his papacy. And in that, it says he criticized the church's obsession with a disjointed set of moral doctrines.
Say what?
Yeah, he believes the church has been obsessed with a disjointed set of moral doctrines. He says, in the hierarchy of church truth, mercy is paramount. Proportion is necessary, and what counts is inviting the faithful in.
Wow.
He went on to say, some of the church's historical customs can even be cast aside if they no longer serve to communicate the faith.
I might agree with some of that last statement, but it sounds like he's soft-pedaling there.
Yeah. Now, in an Associated article, and this, let's see if I've got a date on this. It's got to have a date somewhere. Where is that? This is recent. Okay, this is dated November 5th. So this goes back just about 3 weeks ago. This is from NBC News.
Uh-huh.
The Pope, with a penchant for surprises, is making new waves by launching a survey of his flock on issues facing modern families, from gay marriage to divorce. Very specific questions are being sent to parishes around the globe in preparation for next year's Synod of Bishops.
Okay.
Same-sex unions, mixed marriages, single-parent families, and surrogate mothers are all mentioned in the prelude to a list of questions that get into the nitty-gritty of 21st century life. For instance, what pastoral attention can be given to people who live in these same-sex marriages, same-sex unions?
He wants to accept them, in other words.
Yeah. Again, in the case of unions of persons of the same sex who have adopted children, what can be done pastorally in light of transmitting the faith? Again, do divorced and remarried people feel marginalized or suffer from the impossibility of receiving the sacraments?
Mm-hmm.
And again, these are all some questions that are on this survey being sent out by the head office of the Catholic Church. Here's another question. In cases where non-practicing Catholics or declared non-believers request the celebration of marriage, describe how this pastoral challenge is to be dealt with.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then the article goes on to say, the survey is the latest sign of Pope Francis's willingness to engage ordinary Catholics and promote a less judgmental approach to hot-button social issues.
I like how they say judgmental. If you are against certain things, it's automatically judgmental, but okay.
Yeah. Well, now, that's not limited to the Catholic, that kind of an approach is not limited to the Catholic Church. I found another article.
Okay.
This one from the Christian Post, and it says, pastors looking to improve their church mostly focus on assessing their church's mission and assessing their church's image in the community, according to a new survey by the Barna Group. The findings said that 88% of pastors surveyed said they were definitely or probably going to, quote, assess your church's vision and mission.
Wow.
Pastors across the country are looking to adjust to the realities of the culture. Most pastors are open to changing their ministries. And then it says, quote, today's organizations face pressure to stay current, efficient, and relevant.
Well, there you go.
That sounds like you're running a business and you got a product to sell.
Yeah.
And you got to keep it popular. You know, we always see in the grocery store when we go in there, you know, it looks like the same old cereal box, but it says new and improved, you know.
Yeah.
Or your laundry soap. It's new and improved. It's
got to make it better.
It's got to constantly change.
Features, yeah.
If it's the same stuff you've been selling for years, it won't work. You got to change it.
Because it's assumed that it was bad.
And so that approach is being used in religion as well. And we see that even the old diehards like the Catholic Church are beginning to feel the pressure, and they're going to cave, and they're going to give in to things apparently like same-sex marriage divorce and remarriage, which they've always been pretty strong against. Looks like they're going to cave on those things. What about that? You know, can we change? What should we change? That's our topic, and I hope that those examples sort of illustrate what we're talking about.
We're going to take a break and get this week's bullet point, or not this week's bullet. We're going to get a break, and we'll come back. We're going to get your thoughts. And, well, the chat room is as dead as that turkey that we had. It's dead.
If you're in the chat room, if you've got any examples
of stuff.
Well, when we get back, we're going to change up the order of our questions we sent out today. We're going to talk about what are some of the areas where we just absolutely can never change. And then we'll follow that by what are some areas where maybe we could change.
Okay. Let us know your thoughts. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study will continue the Thanksgiving edition right after this.
Have you checked out all of the resources on collegeview.com lately? Check it out now while you listen to these important messages. The Virtual Bible Study will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Wade Shelton. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Scripture says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You see, we believe here at College View that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh. And I believe that we are dedicated to this cause. That's why we here at College View bring you the Virtual Bible Study each week. Our hope is that you will join us each week here on the Virtual Bible Study in hopes of strengthening your faith so that you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Please join us here every Thursday night on the Virtual Bible Study. I know that it's worth an hour of your time.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. How much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the causes of it? If you are patient in one moment of anger, you will avoid 100 days of sorrow. Man, wish I'd said that.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Oh, the board operator's asleep at the switch.
The rookie over there. We're back on the program tonight, the Thanksgiving edition. We're all jumbled up here on the program tonight, but we're looking forward to hearing from you at 877-381-4567 as we talk about modifying our teaching and practice to accommodate the trends of modern culture. Well, it seems almost every religious denomination today is doing that. What do you think? Let us know your thoughts on the subject tonight.
All right, so we gave some indication that certainly people are doing that. They're trying to adapt. But we got to be sure that we understand that there are certain areas wherein we cannot change at all, things that are simply not up for discussion. It's off the table. It won't happen.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you think? What would we say in regards to things that just can't change?
Well, we have to understand that in the scriptures, we're following our King, who's already set forth the principles in His Word of how God wants to be worshipped. So when it comes down to our actions of serving Him, we hear the Apostle Paul countering, you know, the Pope's idea when he says in Galatians 1, verse 10, who are we trying to persuade? Do I try to persuade men, or am I trying to persuade God?
Exactly.
And certainly, if we're going to eat the Lord's Supper, we have to do that on the first day of the week. If we're going to worship God in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we have to sing, making melody in our heart. We have to do our giving on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, teaches us these type principles. And so God's Word cannot be changed. We have to follow His will.
Exactly right. So basically, we would just say that if it's revealed in the Word of God, and if He's specified what He wants, if He's given us authority to do things in a way, we have to do it in the way that He authorized us to do.
Somebody's got to have Jude verse 3 in this discussion, where
Go ahead.
It says that they were to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It doesn't say that the faith was, you just need to put your finger in the wind.
And that verse, I think newer English translations will say something
once for all.
Yeah. It's a faith delivered. It's finished. It's not being constantly modified or changed. You know, the laws of men can be constantly amended. You know, I think most historians say that in the United States, it's rather remarkable that our Constitution has survived for 200 plus years with relatively few amendments to it.
Right.
But even the United States Constitution, which is rather unique in that regard, it's still been amended, and you can always talk about changing things about it if you want to. The Word of God is not open to amendment.
Now,
the law that God has set forth is not subject to change.
Now, Jude verse 3 says, though they earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Some would say that the faith means, you just need to believe in Jesus. You know, that's the faith that it's talking about there, the faith you believe in Jesus, and that doesn't change. But these other little details, they're insignificant, and they can change.
Well, you would have to find out. I mean, the faith, when it's used in that expression, is denoting the whole system of faith. It's
right.
Not just talking about do you believe or don't believe.
Right.
It's talking about the whole system of faith.
It's the things
been laid.
That you do.
Yeah.
Yes, all right.
It would be the body of doctrine found in the New Testament law that we follow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3. So
exactly right. You mentioned earlier, Nick, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I really think you're right. That verse addresses this notion that we need to constantly be adjusting to satisfy the whims of men. In that same context, back up a couple verses, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And so we are simply not at liberty to alter the doctrine of Christ, the things that are contained in the Word of God. In that same context, I think it's kind of interesting that if you go right on into the next chapter, the Apostle Paul was confronted with some people who were trying to do that.
Right.
In Galatians chapter 2, he spoke of a time where he went up to Jerusalem, and he took Titus with him. He said, I went up by revelation, Galatians 2, verse 2, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I'm especially keen on that last verse. That's Galatians 2, verse 5. Here were these false teachers. They were talking about an issue that would have been sort of like what we're talking about in the modern day. You know, to them, the issue of circumcision, that was a hot-button social issue.
Right.
You know, it's not in our day and time. It's not a hot-button social issue today, according to the Pope, with things like same-sex marriage.
Right.
So this was a hot-button social issue of the day.
Yeah.
And here were some people pushing that there be some alteration in what Paul was teaching and preaching by revelation. Mm-hmm. And Paul's attitude about that was, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, not for an hour. We're not going to, this is off the table. This is not up for discussion.
And he didn't put any kind of wiggle words in there. He didn't say, you know, well, right now we can't discuss it.
We're going to have a synod of bishops next year.
Maybe 50 years down the road it might change.
Yeah, we might bring this up for consideration in our next world convention.
Yep.
And we'll take nothing like that.
We're going to take a survey.
Yeah.
Well, Jack and Henry are in the chat room tonight, and they're both standing strong against the tryptophan. Jack says, Jude 3, the Greek word is hapax, which is used to describe the number of times Jesus died for us once.
And so Jesus died for us once. The faith has been delivered once.
He says, in other terms, it was delivered once, so we don't need any other revelation.
Exactly right.
All right. Henry S. in the chat room says, Jehovah, our God, does not change. His holy word does not change. And if we're handling God's word aright, then what reason is there to change? All right. So appreciate those comments tonight. Very good.
I was thinking of another passage that, again, stresses the idea. This is not open. You know, the doctrine, the things we teach, the things that are instructed in the Word of God are not open for compromise. 2 John, verses 9 beginning, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And so here, Nick, if you don't abide in the doctrine, then you're not in fellowship with God.
Yeah, in the doctrine, you notice there it's singular when God is given it, so it's all in unity together. The Hebrew writer says in the very first chapter, God hath spoken. I wonder, you know, in the last 2,000 plus years, God, at the time we see the New Testament completed, he's spoken all the word of God. It says he has spoken in the past tense, meaning he's not going to speak in the future anymore. And so the early Christians had the complete revealed will of God to be able to teach their generation following them and following them. And today, sometimes you hear some man or some person say, you know, I have some radical, new revolutionary ideas, as though the previous generation before us maybe didn't know all the truth, and yet they had it, and we've had it for the last 2,000 years, and that's the faith that has been delivered for all times till the Lord comes again.
You know, even sometimes among our own brethren, Nick, and I would imagine you share the same frustration I do, especially, it seems to me like among some younger preachers, they get the idea that they have come up with a way of thinking about things that no one ever thought of before. You know, this is a relatively small book, the New Testament, and some really smart people have been studying it for a long, long time. And I really believe it's really presumptuous of me to imagine that suddenly I have come up with some understanding of these words that nobody ever thought of before.
I cringe when I hear someone express some revolutionary new idea they've heard, as though nobody has expressed it.
Exactly. Right. We got a caller on the line.
Jacob, Arthur is on the phone from near Columbia, here in Columbia, Tennessee. Arthur, welcome to the Virtual Bible Study.
Thank you. Excuse me. Romans 1 and verse 5. is by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his saint, for his name. And then turn over to Romans.
Hang on just a minute there, Arthur. This is a good verse to illustrate what Jacob was saying earlier. Yeah. Notice they were obedient to the faith. It wasn't just faith, believe in Jesus. It was they were obedient to the faith, which would imply they were obedient to the system of doctrine and practice that had been delivered to them.
And Greg, would that also, the faith, wouldn't that identify it as being the only faith, not faiths?
That's right.
Because we have in Matthew 15 where it's talking about the doctrines of men or the faiths of men.
Yeah, when Nick made this point a few minutes ago, it reminded me of what you and I have discussed in the past. When it's talking about the doctrine of Christ, it's always singular. When it talks about the doctrines of men, it's plural. Right.
It's plural, always.
So there's just one true doctrine of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
If you ever find doctrine has anything to do with Christ, it is never no S on it.
Right. Yeah.
And then,
so it's a package deal is what you're saying, Arthur.
Yeah. And then Romans 16 and verse 26, and now it is made manifest and by the scripture of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Obedience of faith.
Exactly right. So I think that's a good job proving that faith is more than just belief. It's a system of practice. It's the doctrine of Christ that's been delivered that we are to obey.
Yeah. Well, you know, come to my mind Matthew 7:21-23, you know, I never get to it.
I've got it here, Arthur, if you like.
Yeah.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Yeah. And would that not also tell you that was such a thing as people who thought they were doing and was living by the faith, we're not living by the faith.
Well, there would have to be some kind of absolute standard. If it was just some type of vague, shifting thing that changed with the culture and with the wind, and, today it was wrong, tomorrow it's not, how in the world will we know if we're practicing lawlessness or not?
Exactly right.
Jacob, Arthur, it reminds me, too, of what Jesus said in Matthew 15:9. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, this is not something to be taken lightly.
Exactly.
If we teach the doctrines of men rather than the doctrine of Christ, it renders our worship vain, which means it's worthless, useless, good for nothing.
Exactly.
That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious language.
Without a doubt it is. And that does show you that there are some who think that they're practicing the faith that are not, and we'll find out one day.
All right, great. All right, Arthur.
I know why Arthur called tonight. Arthur called me last night. He's not. You weren't celebrating Thanksgiving today. You're doing it a little bit later. So no tryptophan in your diet today, was there, Arthur? No turkey.
And I am celebrating Thanksgiving.
Okay, but just not with the truth.
He's listening to the annual Thanksgiving Day version of the Virtual Bustle. That's his celebration for tonight.
You better believe it.
Thanks, Arthur. We appreciate you calling.
My things, you know what I say, one of my highlights of the week is virtual Bible study.
All right. For those who don't know, Arthur's one of our elders here at College View, and we appreciate you listening, Arthur.
All right. I always do if I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur.
Have a good night, and thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com are the ways you participate, and we are overdue for a break for this week's bullet point. We'll get that now. When we get back,
we're going now. Okay. Now, people might be a little bit surprised. We want to actually change this up, Jacob. I hope that we have firmly established the first point. There are many areas of our faith and practice that are not subject to discussion, not negotiable.
Okay.
But are there any areas where we can and should change to stay up to date?
I'm thinking you're going to say yes.
Let's see. Let's talk about that when we come back.
All right. When we get back, we'll take your thoughts. And the chat room is actually surprisingly getting busy, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break as well. Keep those comments coming there. Let us know your thoughts at 877-381-4567. Send your emails to questions@collegeview.com. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians with the news that he intended to visit them. However, his visit would be delayed because he was pursuing opportunities in Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning verse 5, he wrote, "I shall come to you after I go through Macedonia, and perhaps I shall stay with you or even spend the winter, if the Lord permits, but I shall remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Notice especially that Paul perceived great prospects in Ephesus. He could see a tremendous potential for effective service. Did he mean that everyone in that city was eagerly receiving the gospel message? Was everyone anxious to hear the truth that Paul was teaching? Could the whole city be converted to Christ? The answers to these questions, no. In fact, during this visit to Ephesus, a riot broke out in opposition to what Paul was preaching. In Acts chapter 19, beginning verse 23, it speaks of a silversmith named Demetrius who made shrines to the idol goddess Diana. He led the city in a great uprising. It says, quote, "The whole city was filled with confusion." And it goes on to describe that some of the disciples were taken captive and Paul's own personal safety was at risk. When Paul wrote about that, quote, "wide door for effective service," he also knew that, quote, "there are many adversaries." He was not blind to the dangers that surrounded him, but he was still excited about the good that could be accomplished. The lesson for us is this. The reality of opposition does not diminish the potential for good and effective work. There has never been and never will be a time when God's truth and his people are unopposed. Even in adversity, we need to be looking for open doors for proclaiming the word. Don't wait for the perfect situation. Don't hesitate because there are adversaries. There is much to do and doors of opportunity are wide open for the gospel. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Hello, this is Preston Jackson from Valdosta, Georgia, and you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
And we're welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study tonight, and we want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us by visiting our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. The new and hopefully improved website is up and running, thevirtualbiblestudy.com.
We're going to try to get more content on there as we think we've got our bugs worked out, and if you are listening live tonight, and have any
that
problem.
That may be proof that we have the bugs worked out.
Yeah.
If you're listening live tonight.
And if you're in, if you are listening in the archives, if you are having any issue, let us know. We think we've got a lot of the problems worked out.
But we don't have. It's not real. Well, as someone said last week, it's simple.
It's simple.
And I don't know that's a compliment necessarily. It could be a compliment.
Well, we're not trying to set the world on fire. We're not trying to, you know, make it the most flashy media site in the world, but we want it to be effective, and we'd also be willing, certainly interested, to hear your feedback if you're listening to us on a tablet or a smartphone, if there's something that works or doesn't work for you. I know I've had some folks tell me that there's certain parts of the archives that the links don't work. Well, I think some of those new devices, if you don't have a certain flash player or something, we've got if you are on an iPhone or an iPad, look for the MP3 archives. We got the MP3 archives there, and you won't be able to listen to the WMA or Windows Media Audio. You won't be able to listen to that, but you can listen to the MP3. So look on the website to find the one that you can use. And you can I think that you can download Windows Media Player for Mac. If you're listening on,
but you
Mac,
got the MP3 there. Why
have
it?
And you know, that's right.
That's a new feature. You now have the MP3, and another feature is you can find a description. If you check the MP3 page, you'll find a description of what the program was about.
Yeah, on the WMA page, all you get is the title.
That
but
was
on
the cryptic thing from the old website. It's like, oh, I wonder what they're talking about. I can't really tell from the title. Now you can actually read a little description.
Exactly.
So that's an improvement.
There we go.
And you're going to add some more, maybe some bulletin articles?
Maybe. It's been a busy time. It looks like it will be busy for the next few weeks. But as time goes on, we're going to try to add some content.
Maybe some pictures of yourself?
No, never.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to this question. We just talked about certainly areas in which we absolutely cannot and will not, won't even talk about making changes in areas, but are there areas where we could change in order to stay current? And you suggested, Jacob, that I probably was going to answer yes, and that's right.
Yeah, I had a hint.
Yeah.
A hunch.
Let me go to a passage that I think suggests that there's some areas where we should be flexible. I think this will be familiar to many of our listeners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning verse 20, Paul said, "Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some."
Okay. Now,
now, if you read that,
if you didn't read that,
I think if you read that and didn't know, I mean, those are the first verses that you ever read from the Apostle Paul, you might be inclined to say, well, sound like he was pretty negotiable.
This gospel thing sort of fluid.
Sound like he's a compromiser.
Yeah, if you can win people and they're hungry, feed them.
If they want indoor fireworks, give them the indoor fireworks.
Yeah. Entertain.
To the pyromaniac, I became a pyromaniac.
But as I say, you know, if that's the first thing you ever knew from the pen of the Apostle Paul, you might mistakenly come to that conclusion. But we already read a number of statements from Paul in which he indicated absolutely no flexibility in matters of faith and doctrine. And so Paul here is not talking about those kind of things, doctrinal things. He was not changing doctrine to adapt to various groups and to their whims and fancies. We know that that was not the case. So what he has to be talking about here is in matters of judgment. He would accommodate these people in areas wherein they had judgment matters that were important to them. He would adjust to what was appropriate to those groups.
Dare when
he
you
was
say talking customary.
To the customary. When he was talking to the Jews, he understood where they were coming from and what kind of things that needed to be addressed in order to answer their issues. He wasn't modifying doctrine. He wasn't saying, for instance, we talked a minute ago about that circumcision question. He wasn't saying, well, to the Jews, I taught circumcision because that's what they were used to. To the Gentiles, I said circumcision is not important. Don't worry about it because that's what they were. He didn't do that. We know he didn't do that. He said he didn't do that. And so in matters of custom or judgment, or personal preference, he would acclimate himself to the people that he was with to teach them effectively. And I think that suggests what I'm suggesting, Jacob, that there are some areas where we ought to be open to change, wherein it does not require a compromise of anything about the truth, the doctrine of Christ.
All right. Let us know your thoughts. 877-381-4567. Questions@collegeu.com. That obviously, I think, would apply to maybe different areas of the world where customs may be different. In the United States, Nick, things are different even within different regions. There are things that are customary in Florida that aren't customary here. And the way that we worship, you know, if you go to a worship service in North Florida, it's going to be different than the worship service here.
Yeah, I believe we meet at different times.
All right. Well, there's one.
Well, and you all are wrong. You all are wrong about that, of course, but we just let you do it.
We meet in a block building with a tin roof. One brother, one time, we were discussing some of the brethren that we knew that were in fully black congregations. He said, you know, the white block buildings with the tin roof? I said, well, that's the kind of building we worship in. Of course, we have some black brethren that worship with us as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Dress is different in North Florida. In some place, I mean, it's modest dress, but typically it's going to be different there than it would be someplace else, maybe in a large city.
All right. Now, I think we've introduced the idea that there are some areas of judgment, and I think that's the key word, areas of judgment, areas that are not restricted by doctrine.
Areas of liberty.
Areas of liberty where we can make some adjustment. Now, let's go right to a couple of those specifics. For instance, what about our worship services? I ask, what changes might we make in regards to our public worship services? Well, could we make some changes about time, for instance, Nick? You all worship at a different time than we do, and lots of congregations choose different times of the day on the Lord's Day when they assemble together to take the Lord's Supper. You know, as you mentioned earlier, the Lord's Supper has to be on the first day of the week. That'd be one of the things that we can't change about our worship services. We can't change the day of the week that we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. But we could have it at 9 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't have to agree on the specific hour of the day. We could leave that, you know, let's say that we had a whole bunch of, in this congregation, we had a whole bunch of people who worked the night shift, and they had to work Saturday. And so they get off at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're dead beat tired, and they go right home and go to bed. And so we make a decision that we're going to meet, instead of first thing in the morning on Sunday, we're going to meet at 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Being dead beat tired on Sunday morning may not be a good choice of terms. Maybe being dead tired. You don't want to be dead beat tired.
They're not dead beats, but they're dead tired.
Yes,
they're dead tired. And so we can accommodate them by meeting at a different time. Recently I worshiped with a church in Chattanooga, and they're one of the ones that have decided to go to one service on Sunday and meet for a longer period rather than having a two.
Works better for them.
They like it better. Okay. I don't know if I'm not. I got to tell you, I'm not personally taken
okay.
with that. But that's okay.
You're
it doesn't
not,
matter.
You got to make an issue of it.
That's right. I don't have to make an issue of that. I still like meeting in the morning and in the evening. I like having two chances to worship on the Lord's Day. But they seem very happy with the idea of meeting once, a little later in the morning, for a longer period of time. And they have one.
Here's one that might be we could talk about. Some congregations you go to, they sing more modern songs. So you know, some congregations you go to, they sing all those songs that we've sung for a long time.
We refer to them as the old standards.
The old standards.
You know, and I like the old standards personally.
I do too. I prefer that.
But some people are really liking some of these newer songs.
Right.
Well, that's a matter of judgment. We can acclimate ourselves to that one way or the other.
Okay.
We can have
as the songs are scriptural. I mean, they're not teaching false doctrine, like, you know.
We can have it's nothing wrong with having a preference, Nick, about such things and expressing your preference in such things. But I really think that when it comes to those kind of judgment matters, what we do is we submit. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 1 Peter 5, verse 5, be ye subject one to another, clothed with humility. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. In such judgment matters, we should be flexible. We should be adaptive. We should be submissive. If it's the opinion of everybody to do that way, you know, to sing some of those songs versus some of the ones that have been around for 200 or 300 years, we can do that. Again, as you said, Jacob, as long as they're not doctrinally compromising, we can do that.
Now, but the important thing is we don't change the pattern that we're still singing. If someone says, well, you know, lots of people today like a little guitar with their and some drums with their songs. Well, so, at that point, we'd say, hey, no way, no how, that dog ain't gonna hunt.
Yeah, so
that's a little North Florida lingo for you there.
So as you were saying, in regards to the music in worship, we might adapt to sing some more recently written songs as long as they're scriptural, but we're not going to adapt to add in an instrument of music. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, the instrumental music is an addition to the rule of faith.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And the newer, more maybe modern worded songs might be just an aid in our worship.
Exactly
It helps us to know what to sing.
We need to go back to the phone. Arthur in Columbia is back on the line. Arthur's getting, he heard about that offer for double pay tonight, and he's really trying to rack up on it.
But, okay.
You may be disappointed, Arthur.
I was thinking about the verse there in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. He talks about how that we are to be of the same mind, no division among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Now, look, the same judgment, he's not talking about so far as our being unity in the faith, but we're to have the same judgment, just as he says over in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I believe it is, and verse 21, he said, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, that's the thing that we're to do. You know, he says up there, we're to speak the same things, be no division among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. You know, that's the spiritual things. But as far as judgment, we just submit to one another.
I think that's right.
Amounts to.
Exactly right. And, you know, Arthur, as you well know, Unfortunately, lots of trouble has been caused in churches through the years because people would not submit in matters that where they could. Division has happened both ways. People trying to change things that can't be changed, and then people refusing to be submissive in areas where they could change.
Exactly. And Greg, you know.
Go ahead, Arthur.
The other night, you know, I was talking about the color of the carpet. What did I tell you?
You said you didn't care.
I could care less. What does it make what color the carpet?
We got to buy some new. We're in the market for some new carpet, and Arthur just said he doesn't care.
What about pink, Arthur?
What if Jacob said he wanted hot pink?
I guess as long as it's in reason.
All right. You always have these unreasonable people. Philippians 2, to your point, Arthur, it says in verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So in these areas of judgment, you know, verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So we would take into consideration the judgment of what everyone has to say with a view to try to, if our heart is right, we're trying to please God, and we can always defer to others.
Exactly.
Unselfish.
Correct.
You stay online there, Arthur, if you like, for a minute.
This is a holiday. Should we take a break, or do you?
We're just about out of time. Let's just work through this last break.
You're rough on the holiday.
I was thinking about technology, and how technology has changed the way we do some things.
It has.
For instance, things like the virtual Bible study. That's a relatively new opportunity.
Yes,
should we adjust to it? I think we're pretty conservative people, Nick. And if someone is maybe at first blush, if someone said, should we change to adjust to the modern culture? I think typically our reaction would be, well, no. But when you stop thinking about it, there are some ways where we can and should adjust, just like technology. In our worship services, for instance, most churches have gone to using a computer and a projector to show PowerPoint slides teach the sermon, for instance. Well, that's something new. Years ago, they used a chalkboard.
Or the bed sheet sermons.
Yeah, where they painted their charts on a bed sheet, Well, those are areas where we can adapt, And I think certainly to the modern mind, a well-devised and planned PowerPoint presentation is much more effective visual aid than a chalkboard or a painted bed sheet.
Yes. Back in the old day, well, not too old days, but the old overhead transparencies, overhead projector, there were people who objected to that.
There have been some people who objected to those kind of changes, and again, that's sort of a two-edged sword. Years ago, I went to preach at a congregation, and they told me before I came, by the way, they said, don't plan to use an overhead projector. This was way before computers and PowerPoint. They said, don't plan to use an overhead projector. We've got a brother here who objects to it. Well, I didn't have to have it, and I could certainly yield on that. So. But that's always sort of a challenging thing. Should we yield to this guy who says nope?
Who's going to bind an opinion?
Or are we going to say no, brother? You we're not going to give you the privilege of binding your opinion when it's unnecessary.
Right.
So that's a fine line. It's a sort of a dicey proposition there to know what to do. But we should be adaptable, and that brother should be adaptable. Others should be careful to honor his conscience. It's a fine line to walk.
It is.
But in regards to our worship services, again, some things we can't change. We can't change to add instrumental music. We can't change to add women teachers. That's one of the areas where a lot of these people are pushing for changes. We need to get women more involved. We need to let them be preachers and teachers and so forth. Well, we can't change on that. But we can change maybe to sing some different songs than the old standards we've always been singing. We can change to incorporate technology in regards to computers and projectors and things like the virtual Bible study. So, yes, there are some areas to change, some areas where we can't. What I'm really concerned about in all of that is most religious groups are changing in areas where they shouldn't be changing. They're changing things that are not authorized to be
Great.
Changed.
All right.
Real quickly,
hey,
Jacob.
So we need to get to let's go to the chat room quickly. I've been negligent in there. Jack in the chat room says, Paul says that some shall depart from the faith, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. We shouldn't be surprised that that is what we've been seeing for quite some time, that this has been going on. Henriette, Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we've got to be making sure that we're staying true to that word of God. Henry S. again says in Ephesians 4, he references Ephesians 4, 4 through 4, 7. For a matter of time, we'll skip that. And
well, all the seven ones.
Yes, that's right. It's well, one faith.
Which mentions just one faith, right?
And David R., he says the archives are best retrieved using iTunes. And that's a surprise.
Talk about our podcasting.
Yeah, and that's a surprise for a lot of people is that we are on iTunes. So check us out there if you are so
inclined. And if you do that, then every time that you update your device, then if we've got new content out there, it'll download
Bingo.
Automatically to you.
All right. Now, back to I interrupted you in mid-thought there.
All right, real Morality. Quickly. Remember, we still got Arthur on the line.
Yeah,
and Arthur, you can comment on this.
Thing, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to authority, we do not change. But when it comes to a matter of opinion or what we think might be the better, we can't.
In fact, you better be willing to change.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Well, real quickly, we're almost out of time. What about matters of morality? Do cultural norms ever factor into our decision-making? And are there absolutes that can never be changed?
Can I say here and answer to this? Yes, they do. Cultural norms must enter into our
Give us an example. What do you mean, Jacob?
Well, there was a time in which it was considered, I understand, immodest for a woman to show her ankles. Nothing biblical that would mandate that, but the culture said that it would. In that case, I would argue that it would have been sinful for a woman to show her ankles in that culture.
Well, and you could go to places in the world today. We lost Arthur. Let me get that off there.
That's all right. Yeah, kill that.
Where is that? Oh, no.
That just killed hit the end on the phone.
I'm trying to find it. There it is. Yeah. Okay. Style of dress. There's places in the world today where women are covered from head to toe with a veil or the burqa in certain Mideastern countries. If you were there, that's what you ought to wear.
You better be wearing it.
Yeah.
Same for the men.
You know, but times do change. For instance, if a man in the time of Christ dressed as we're dressed tonight, with a shirt and pants, he'd be been out of place.
Right.
If you should have been wearing a tunic or a robe.
Yeah.
But if a man wore a tunic or a robe like they wore back then, today we'd say he looks really out of place.
Yeah.
And so style, cultural norms do factor in, but cultural norms can never justify exposing one's nakedness.
They never can take precedent over biblical instruction.
There are biblical absolutes about the parts of our body that are to stay covered.
Right.
And so styles may change how we cover those parts of our bodies.
Right.
Styles change, but principles of modesty and covering our nakedness, those are absolutes that don't change.
Right.
All right.
That's one, but I think there are other areas where...
Well, I was thinking about... Now, getting to what some... folks in the world.
You've got 1 minute, sir.
What about marriage, divorce, and remarriage?
Yeah.
You know, there's a, you know, 50 years ago, divorce was not heard of very much, and it was a shameful thing when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it happens all the time. So people have shifted their thinking on divorce, and now they just want to sort of, anything goes.
Yeah.
But doctrinally, we can't do that because the Word of God is very clear on the doctrine concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That's an absolute that can't be altered.
So, all right.
All right, we're out of time.
You know, you get into hard subjects there. Whenever you talk about judgment and how we apply our judgment, that is a difficult thing. I think that requires a lot of wisdom and maturity to navigate the areas of judgment.
Exactly right.
All right.
We're out of time, Jake.
Good discussion tonight. Appreciate it. Nick, thanks for coming to be with us.
Good to be with you all again.
Good to be with you, and glad that you're here with us. And just don't eat all my turkey. We had a good day today.
And we really had a pretty good crowd and a number of people in the chat room. We appreciate everybody who joined us for our Thanksgiving edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
Tim agrees that iTunes works great. So if you – and maybe gift-giving season is around the corner. If you get one of those iPods, check us out on iTunes.
Yeah, could do that.
Yeah, that's good. He found a couple of topics on Providence on iTunes, and he listened to them.
All right.
So, good. And, well, I've been behind the board tonight, and I've got a renewed thankfulness for the people who sit back here. This is not an easy job.
Yeah, all right.
So,
and I'm glad for you to have this seat as well.
And you know what? I think, there we go. I'm all set here. Let's go ahead and close the program. Dad, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Jacob.
And we appreciate you for taking time out of your holiday and for joining us on the Virtual Bible Study. We hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.